to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose. My name is Edna White. I am your host, and this is the podcast where we come together with real talk about real issues and struggles in life, in relationships, and in business, all on purpose. And today, our guest is none other than the magnificent Kenneth Moore. I was going to say a middle name. I don't know why, but Kenneth Moore. And he is an author, and we're so excited to have him here to talk about his book. Welcome, Kenneth, to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Oh, thank you for having me, Edna. And Kenny or Ken is fine.
Kenny, okay. I love the spelling of your name, so I will say that.
Well, you can thank my parents for that.
Yes.
Misspelled and mispronounced all the time.
And you know, when you're typing, and you know, when you're voice typing, right, it comes up the regular way, right? So I was like, oh, he's going to be so upset because I know how important names are.
I spell it automatically just by, you know, by habit.
Yes, yep, exactly. So tell us how you show up in the world.
I show up in a few ways.
Okay.
I'm a creative, so I write and compose music, produce beats. I coach basketball, high school basketball.
Okay.
And from my 9 to 5, I work for a real estate, commercial real estate company.
Oh, nice. Well, we have something in common because I do, my profession for over 20 years has been real estate, but not commercial. You have to have great, exceptional patience for commercials.
That you do, but it's not as hard as you think because the lease is the lease.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. And doing that a couple of times is great.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So tell us let's talk about your book. What's the title of your book?
Yes, the title of my book is The Struggle to Get to Destiny.
Oh, that sounds good. So give us a summary of like what it's all about.
No problem. So The Struggle to Get to Destiny is my life story along with my first wife, April. It's our life story together. She unfortunately lost her battle to liver and kidney disease at the age of 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this book is basically our journey, both individually and then collectively together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just learning some life lessons that I learned from that experience and, you know, some tips and some tools that I learned that I wanted to share with others.
Yeah, and that's most important is our audiences really want to hear what other people have gone through and kind of triumphed through. What does destiny mean to you?
Destiny means what you were put on earth to do.
Ah, okay. And does that change? through this whole battle that you and your wife have gone through both together and individually, does that change over time? Can you share like how that experience is to the audience?
Yeah, it changes because you have to adjust to the challenges of life. Like, there's going to be, and I say it all the time, that there's going to be times where life punches you in the mouth.
Right.
Yep. And it's up to you as, in terms of how you, you know, maneuver, how you move, how you adjust, how you, you know, pick yourself off the ground if need be, and to keep it moving and to keep living.
Right.
And that's what I've, you know, had to do with, you know, losing my wife in 2018, or my first wife in 2018, because I recently just remarried.
Okay.
In April of this year.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, if you have a destiny, no matter what the challenges of your life, the things that you go through, there's still an ultimate destiny for us to get to. And then, so that's the challenge. That's the struggle to try to find what that is and then to do what you have to do in order to achieve or to get to that destiny.
Okay. All right. Now, I hear, you know, in, I haven't read it yet, which I will, but how do you acquire balance when there is a sickness in the, you know, with someone that you love so dearly? How do you acquire balance, or is that even possible when something like this happens?
You need help. You need people that are going to, you know, kind of get in the fight with you. And so, you know, I have to shout out my mom. She came down, like I live in Jacksonville, Florida.
Gotcha.
And my wife, or rather my mom, you know, I'm a native New Yorker,
right.
But you know, I'm a Jacksonville transplant. But anyway, my mom is still in the New York, New Jersey area. She came down and lived with us for about, I want to say maybe 2 months. And because, you know, I was working. So, you know, she, you know, April had to get to her appointments and she was on dialysis. So she had those treatments that she would have to go to, you know, a few times a week. So my mom, you know, came down, she cooked, she cleaned, she got to make sure that she was getting to her appointments and doctor's appointments and all that other stuff. So that was a huge, that took a huge burden off of me, and it was a tremendous help.
Yeah. A family care provider now, you know, and balancing that really is super important, that you actually get a reprieve or some time to kind of like regroup. Yes. Is there a chapter in your book that you kind of share, and could you share that with us on, you know, how that you, one of the situations really showed itself strong for you?
In terms of what?
Of your, like, you know, a situation in your book, that you could share with us, you know, just share with us, like, that we can understand it a little clearly, a lot more clearly.
Sure. So, probably the best thing that I could share is, at one time, April had, she dealt with fibroids.
Right.
And so she had a surgery to remove the fibroids. And one of them was like 24 centimeters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when it got removed, it impacted her nerve in her leg. And so she wound up getting a condition called neuropathy, which affected her ability to walk.
Right.
And so she was wheelchair bound for about, I want to say maybe 6 months. And so during that time, I stopped working, you know, cashed out my 401k, and I was caring for her full time. And, you know, at that time, I, you know, I was, you know, I'm a man of faith. So, you know, we were praying one day, and God told me to sow a seed, and told me to sow a seed of like this amount. It was $700. And he said it was going to take care of us for the next 7 months. I believe it was in the month of May. Yeah, it was the month of May.
Okay.
So I did that. And then in June, you know, I decided, you know, she was in a good place and she was okay taking care of herself. She was starting to get mobile again. And so I went to, start looking for work.
Right.
And I went on, I think, one interview, no, two interviews, and got two job offers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I wound up picking one job over the other. Maybe a year or two later,
mm-hmm.
we went from being apartment owners, I mean, renting an apartment to building a three-bedroom house.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
So all of this happened based off of that. I believe that it happened off of that seed that I sowed.
Okay. Can you go in depth in what that means to sow a seed? Because I know we hear it. The audience may hear it a lot. But we really don't understand it. And I know you probably were a participant. Since you were the participant, explain, like, really explain what that means, sow a seed, and what
sure.
you sowed it into. And, you know, so share that with us.
Definitely. So I sold that seed, or I gave that offering to my church,
okay.
which is St. Paul Church of Jacksonville, my Bishop John Dunn. Shout out to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold it to my church. Now, there's a bunch of different ways. You know, sometimes there's a misperception
right.
in terms of, you know, seeds have to always be money.
Right.
It doesn't have to be money. It could mm-hmm. be your time, your talent, or your resources.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
So those are all things that you can all those things that you can sow. And then, you know, it's a principle.
Right.
So whatever you sow, you're going to reap the harvest from it.
Yeah, that's good.
Whether it's positive or negative.
That's good. That's yeah. absolutely. You know, I like that you said that it could be your time. It could be, you know, it just doesn't have to be money. And
right.
that's really important to hear because, you know, sometimes we don't have, you know, we don't have that, you know, and we can give in certain ways. I know for me, sowing, and I didn't actually use those words, but I always gave, you know, put more into when I had to do something in kind for someone. It's always my 100%, like they're paying me top dollar, you know, it's never half. Like, you know, I don't have to do it. It's like,
right.
I'm doing
right.
it. If I'm there and if I were doing this, as you know, to get paid, that's the way I'm going to do it, you know? And that's really important to, you know, for the audience to know. I like what you said. That's really good. Really good. So hashtag that, guys. Sow a seed. Hashtag sow a seed. That's really good. And you don't have to, it always doesn't have to be money. It could be your time.
Right.
It can, you can give. What's the other ones you said? Your time.
It's your time, your talent, or your resources.
There you go. Time, talent, or resources. Excellent. Excellent. What's your favorite part of the book that you've written? What's your favorite part?
I would say, I think my favorite part is the epilogue.
Okay.
So that's the part where I share my tools and the tips that I believe is going to help people that are struggling to reach their destiny to actually reach their destiny.
Okay. Can you give us about three of those tips? You don't have
yeah,
to give
sure.
give us three
sure.
of them.
Yeah. So the first thing is the first thing is to find your gift.
Okay.
Find your gift. Find what you're gifted at. And I like Steve Harvey's his definition of a gift is the thing that you do the best with the least amount of effort.
Yes, I love it. Yes.
Yeah. So to me, that basically nails it.
Right.
So you have first find a gift, find a thing that you do the best with the least amount of effort.
Okay.
Second thing is to find your passion.
Okay.
So find what you're passionate about, and then go after it, because I believe that. Once you find what you're passionate about and when you work at it, it's not work.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And then, you know, then the third thing is just to surround yourself with people that are going to help you, that are going to push you to reach your destiny. So, like, I believe that there's, you know, mentors, there's thought leaders, there's blueprints out there.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is that you want to do, so say for example, you want to, when it comes to music, if you wanted to be a producer, then you would look at, you know, somebody like I don't want to mention. I'll say somebody else. Say somebody else. So really not a good time to be mentioning. Kanye right now.
Yeah.
Let's go Babyface. So Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will be the blueprint in terms of what you want. If you wanted to be a producer, you will follow the blueprint that he laid out in terms of being a producer. So, like, if you're a cook, you will look at somebody like, I like Chef G. Garvin.
Okay, yes.
So you will look at somebody like that and see, you know, what they did, or Delicious Miss Brown, or people, you know, people like that, and see what the blueprint, because there's a path that you can follow, and then what you do is you make it your own.
Yeah, excellent. That's excellent. Would you say that choosing those people to look at and get the blueprint, would they be the mentors, or is mentorship different than that?
They can be, but then I would also try to find someone locally or somebody that you can actually touch.
Okay.
So that they can kind of walk you through the process of whatever you're trying to be. So like for me, when it came to, you know, like I told you, I do music and I write and compose music. My mentor is a guy by the name of Jonathan Woodby. He's a legendary New York musician. He's been playing as long as I've been alive and probably longer than that. So like when it came time for me trying to learn how to make music, that was somebody that I went to, like, and if I made something, I would run it by him and let him listen to it and see, you know, he would tell me what is good, what can be improved, you know, what you did differently. He would tell me what equipment I needed to get, you know, what keyboard I need to buy, all of those different things. So like, and when it comes to a mentor, you want to have somebody that you can touch, whether it's somebody, you know, that you can either text or you can call, somebody you can meet for coffee every now and then, can run your ideas by, someone that you could jump on a Zoom with, whatever the case is, but someone that you can actually connect to and actually talk to that can help you, walk you through your process.
And it sounds like that this is some schedule time that you kind of make, right? Literally a schedule time, right?
Maybe. I guess you have to do what works for you, you know, at the end of the day. But whatever it takes to, I just think it needs to be consistent. Whatever, however.
Okay, great word, great word. Like it, yeah, consistent. Yeah, that's good. Consistency. Because, you know, I don't know how many times you create songs. I don't know. I don't, or beats or whatever that you do. I'm sorry. And I don't want to minimize what you do. But it could be... You said every time you create something, you kind of run it past him, right?
Well, I used to.
Okay,
I kind of
okay,
got used to. A place now where I know what's good.
Right.
What's
okay,
not.
You've copied the blueprint.
I still,
pretty much.
You know, when it's a final product, I will run it by him to get his ears on it. Yeah.
Okay. And it that's more like now that's what a mentor is. But
yes.
Have you ever invested in like paying for someone to help you as a resource with that business itself?
Oh yeah, for sure. So like I partner with a bunch of people when it comes to making music. So like I play piano and I play drums and percussion.
Okay.
So like if I want something that's like bass guitar or lead guitar, social media has been a great resource for me. I've worked with people from as far as Canada, Grenada, all over the country, even locally, people here in Jacksonville where I live. And just like if I have an idea for something and a certain sound that I'm looking for that I can't do myself, I'll reach out to someone else to get them to do it for me.
Right. And did music help you in as you went through the challenges with your wife? Good creative part for you?
I would literally write songs in the hospital.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so like a lot of my inspiration in terms of the lyrics for songs came while I was either in a waiting room or you know, in her hospital room while she was resting. I would get a lot of thoughts, a lot of creativity came through that. And most writers will tell you they write from a place of pain a lot of times.
So. Yeah, very emotional times, and you seem to have funneled it instead of getting like, you know, you could have gotten, you know, irate and, you know, depressed, but you've kind of funneled it into your creative side. Can you share, can you share how that happens? Like, you know, how you, it, the experience for our audience of channeling that?
I'm not sure. Like, I think everybody is different in terms of how they create.
Mm-hmm.
I know with me, it comes and goes in terms of my creativity.
Okay.
So, like, I can... it has to come from a place of inspiration. That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
All right.
So, you have to be inspired to create things. So,
okay.
At least for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it comes from a place of inspiration. And then, like, even writing the book, it was actually therapeutic for me because it helped me, you know, with my grieving process in terms of getting my thoughts and my feelings and my emotions,
right,
you know, down on paper. And then sometimes, like, while I was writing, I would have to take a break and actually, you know, take a moment because you're starting to experience those thoughts and those emotions again.
All over again, right.
Yeah.
And do you find when you read the book again, you get emotional?
Actually, I haven't since I did so much work on it. I had my wife. I had my wife Janelle. Shout out to her. She read it right before it went to print and came out. She kind of proofread it for me.
Uh-huh.
I haven't actually read it again since it's come out.
Well, let me just tell you, I'm one just like you. I would write it and get it edited and everything. I wouldn't look at it again. And so one day, I think 3 months ago, I opened one of the books I had written like 10 years ago, right? And I was like, oh, wow, I wrote this? You know, and you get to a place where you're just so creative and it just starts to flow sometimes, you know, and it's just, and you get so full and it's like, oh my gosh, this is really good.
Like I look back, like when I finished and, you know, and looked at it, I was like, man, I wrote this many pages. We co-wrote the book. So
yes.
I didn't write it myself. It was my wife and I, we wrote it together.
Right.
Like she started her half and I finished her half after she passed.
Right.
But you know, it was a collaborative effort. And then also I had a great editor, my cousin, Janet Gray, shout out to her.
Yeah.
She really I thought I wrote something pretty good, but mm-hmm. then when she got into it and then, you know, helped me in terms of really digging into it, and she took our stories and wove them together. So when you read the book, there's going to be a chapter from me, then a chapter from April, then a chapter from me, and a chapter from April.
Yeah.
And it just made the book so much better in terms of the flow, in terms of how the readability of it.
Right.
So I have to give a whole lot of credit to her because she made me dig deeper in a lot of places.
Yeah.
So I had to do a lot of rewrites. So it just made the book a better product at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you didn't think that, you thought that you wrote a great book, but you really went back to say, okay, I need somebody to look this over that knows a little bit more than me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And this was my first, you know, my first book. So I knew I didn't know what I was doing.
We all don't know, you know, and that's the thing
I knew I needed some help.
Professional
to take a look at what I did and see, you know, what could be improved. And,
it's still your baby, you know, it's still your baby, you know, and I try, a lot of my clients, when they come to me, I don't want anybody to edit anything. I said, listen, it's still your baby. You know, the phrase of it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
It applies to your book. It applies to your business. It applies. Yeah,
and
you need a team.
Not only do I have to shout out my editor, I got to shout out my publisher too, Paula Foster at Speak Life Publication.
Okay.
She did the cover design, the artwork, and you know, the back cover, the front cover. That's all her, and she also you know, put the book into a nice pretty bow and made it just really, came out really great. So I'm really proud of it.
That's great. So where are you going from here with this book? What's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, so this book is actually going to be a springboard for the launch of the April Moore Memorial Creative Scholarship.
Nice.
So this scholarship is going to be for students to attend an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
We are really close to announcing the HBCU we will be partnering with.
Okay.
And the plan is to launch it in 2023. So any creative students that are attending an HBCU, you can go to kanmcollective.com.
Okay.
And we'll be announcing the information there. We'll be, you know, telling you what school it's going to be with, how you can apply, and all that good stuff.
That's wonderful. That's a really great idea. And I can truly say that I believe that you created this plan. You just didn't go haphazardly and say, hey, you know, I'm going to write this and I'm going to put it out there and that's it. You created a plan. And I like the word springboard because I do believe that your creations are springboards to something bigger.
Definitely.
Yeah, and this is really
something to honor her memory.
Yes.
The book was to honor her memory. The scholarship is to honor her memory because she was a tremendous singer and mm-hmm. writer. So all
to keep
of these
the legacy
is
alive.
To honor her memory.
Yeah, to keep the legacy alive. That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's wonderful. Now, is there something that you can leave with the audience? You know, to encourage them to, if they're into writing books or even in the career that you're in, something you can really just give them to take away with all of this, but just really put this in their pocketbooks or in their backpacks to take along with them.
Yes. Don't let the lack of support stop you from doing what you're doing.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
You know, as a creative person, and any creative person can tell you that the biggest challenge that they have is getting support.
Yeah.
So don't let the lack of support stop you from doing what you, if you believe that you're called to, if you believe that this is your dream and that this is your purpose and this is your destiny in life, don't let the naysayers or the lack of you maybe thinking that you're not getting the support that you want. Don't let that stop you.
Wonderful.
Just keep creating and keep going.
Yes.
And here's the last thing I'll say is, don't look for the people that you know to support you.
Ooh, that's so good.
Yeah. Like,
it's really good.
You don't know when you have something when it's people that you don't know that are your biggest support.
That is correct.
Because that's the ultimate definition of a fan.
Yes. That is beautiful. That is correct. So very good. So how can my audience reach out to you for this this new project that you're actually going to be on endeavoring in? And just social media, how can they really get in touch with you or leave you a question, ask you a question about what you're doing, anything like that? Give us your social media.
Sure. So you can reach me at coach_8ny. KENY on Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, and Instagram. My website is www.kanmcollective.com. KANM stands for Keeping Alive New Music.
Mm-hmm.
Collective, that's my business, along with my partner, Tobias Tanker Jr. So you could go to kanmcollective.com, and we do anything in terms of helping you with your creative content. We got you. So that's how you could connect to me on social media and how you can also check me out online. And also one other thing, I'm sorry, I do a podcast as well, the Any Key Radio Show.
Wonderful.
It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I talk to independent creatives in all genres.
Nice. Very good. Oh, well, I got some people to connect you with.
Absolutely.
So that brings it. This is all wonderful. And I know my audience appreciates it. And I appreciate it too, Ken. Thank you for being here. And this brings us to the end of the show. We want to thank the audience for listening. And if you enjoyed the episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it about on social media, and leave a rating or a review. To catch up to me and my latest endeavors, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at EJW Coaching. And I want to thank you again, audience, for being here, because you could be anywhere else, but I'm glad you're here with me and Ken Moore today. Thank you, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.